for the R2 finale. We are recognizing that Krishna is a person who has transcendental senses. In this material world, if you love someone, you want to give that person sense gratification. If you want to please someone, you please their senses. In this world, though, these senses are a network of path leading to death. In this world, yehi samsparash jab hoga dhuka jo na ye bataya yam sabam to kone taya na kya shudha bataya. That the pleasures that are derived between the senses and their objects are the sources of all pain and misery and bondage. But we read in Gita, just like the banyan tree that is sitting on the lake bank, its reflection of opposite nature. What is the bottom of the tree is the top of the reflection upon the lake. So similarly, this material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. In the material world, the senses are network of paths leading to death. The more we try to feed our senses, the more they become hungrier with lust, like feeding a fire fuel. But we read in the Shastra, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigra. This Krishna's form is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. It is of a pure spiritual substance. And that each of his senses are interchangeable with each of his other senses. In other words, he can taste with his eyes, he can hear through his tongue, he can see through his speech. Every limb is interchangeable with the others. And in the spiritual world, the principle of bhakti means to give pleasure to Krishna, to recognize that he is a person, and dedicate our lives as an offering for his pleasure. So what the RT ceremony is, it is a meditation of offering our entire life to Krishna through offering these various items for his pleasure. It is not the item itself that gives Krishna pleasure, but it is the love, it is the devotion in which it is offered. So recognizing Krishna as a person, we want to please each of his senses. And what we are doing is we are offering the basic elements of the creation in his loving service. What are the five elements? Umir apo nalovayu kamano buddhir eva shah. There is the earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And these are the five most basic elements, and everything within the creation is simply composed of a combination of these five pure material elements. So what we are doing when we are offering arti is we are taking the five most basic material elements and offering them in love and devotion for the pleasure of Krishna's senses. First, we invoke auspiciousness by blowing the conch shell. It explains in the Bhagavatam how the senses respond to the objects of the senses. sound is descend is carries through ether. It is the subtlest of all the gross senses, ether. And through sound, by offering the ether, through the blowing of the conch shell, by offering the ether, the space, we are giving pleasure to Krishna's ears. Next, we offer incense. Incense is simply, pure incense is the herbs of the earth. We are taking the earth element in its sweetest form, and we are offering it in love and devotion for the Lord's pleasure of smell. And then when we take the deep, the ghee lamp, we are taking the element of fire. And the pure, unalloyed, unadulterated element of fire, and we are offering it for the pleasure of Krishna's vision, of his sight, his eyes. And then we are taking the water. Water is another of the pure elements. We are taking that water and we are offering it to Krishna for the pleasure of his taste. And then we take, of course, the handkerchief, and we utilize that because after you offer someone water, it is used to wash him and for him to wash his feet to taste. It is to, like, as courtesy to dry the sense of touch. And the handkerchief is to offer for the sense of touch. And then we offer the chamara, as well as the peacock. We are offering air. We are offering the Lord the pure element of air with love and devotion for his sense of touch. When you fan someone, it gives pleasure to that person's sense of touch. So in this way, we are offering the five basic material elements for the pleasure of the five senses of the Lord. And it is all being done in a mood, in a spirit of love, of devotion. And really what we are doing is we are offering our heart to Krishna through these items of paraphernalia for his pleasure. It should be a meditation like this. Through this incense, my Lord, I am offering you the beautiful fragrances for you to enjoy. And I am offering all of my heart's love and devotion through this incense for your pleasure. And each of the items should be done in this way. Arti is a very, very deep, sublime, mystical meditation. It is done properly. It is not just a ritual. It is a very, very direct and sublime method of completely focusing our entire consciousness as an offering of love to Krishna. You should keep totally, well, no, either way. The way Srila Prabhupada originally taught us is if nobody else is there to sing kirtan, we should be singing kirtan for the deities while we are offering the incense. Of course, now here in Bombay, we're very modern, high tech, we just put a tape recorder on and be silent. But in the old days, we used to always sing. I was pujari at Radha Vrindavan Nath Mandir for many, many years. We never had these tape recorders with all nice tapes. So I offered all six artis a day, except evening arti. Of course, devotees were there to sing the Gaur arti, and Mangal arti devotees were there to sing Mangal arti. But the other artis, I had special bhajan that I would sing every day, the same bhajan for that arti. And it would always end with Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Kahuna Panam, the Advaita Gadadhar Shivashi Rong Bhattam, Inani Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Ram. For instance, at the breakfast offering, I would sing, Viva Vadi Shesha Aloka Kodesha. That song, I knew them all by memory. For the noon arti, we would chant the, while they were taking prasad, I would go outside to the temple and I would sing, Bhaja Bhakata Vasala Sri Gaura Hari, Sri Gaura Hari, Sohi Gosta Vihari. The whole song followed. It was very strict standard. We could not offer them bhog, Raj Bhog prasad without Pujari going into the temple of Umali. The whole time he was taking prasad, I would be singing that song. Because that song is meant to be sang when he's taking prasad. And then, for the arti, we would sing these holy places of Vrindavan. Jaya Jaya Krishna Jaya Vrindavan. Sri Govinda Gopinath Mother Namo. And then, for the flora clock offering, we would sing Yasomati Nandana Vrajavara Naga Gokula Vandana. And 6 o'clock arti. I don't remember. It was many years ago. But in this way, it was only me all day. So we used to try to give pleasure to the Lord while we were offering these articles to sing these different beautiful bhajans with pleasure. And even later on, we did get a small tape recorder, but we would never use it because we were thinking, what kind of bhakti does this tape recorder? I mean, I may not have much bhakti, but at least I'm alive. And according to the Shastra, even when other people are singing, or when some other music is going for the kirtan and arti, there are these mula mantras that we often teach to you. Sang Guru Ve Namaha, Om Paramaguru Ve Namaha, King Janavida Balabhaya Namaha, King Gauraya Namaha, Shri Ram Radhikayaya Namaha, King Krishnaya Namaha. We should chant those mantras before offering each article to the deity.
The mantras should be chanted continuously while in the prasadam, only in the prasadam.
It should be chanted just before we offer the article.
Generally, if there is a choice, if we can sing or the paper, we should prefer that we sing.
Satya Vrata can decide. Either one is good. It just depends. It depends on what standard you want to have. What's best for preaching? Our music should be very nice. Huh? Maybe Kardama Muni should have a tape, but others. Whatever. If the pujari is singing sweetly with devotion, that is very nice. If it's better for preaching when people come, that there's nice tape in the background, and whatever is best for preaching. This is our temple is a preaching center. You have to understand that up at Vrindavan, I was the only one there to hear, besides the deities, and the deities were very merciful. But because so many guests are coming, whatever the devotees feel is nicest for preaching, that we should do. Either way is perfect.
For this Sundar Arti, Sundar Arti, seeing those two centers of the Brahma
Sangha. Yes. That we would always do. That I didn't even mention that. Because for that Arti, we would always have the Brahma Samhita tape. the Radha Krishna temple tape. Prabhupada wanted that tape to be played in every temple for the greeting of the deities.
I was reading somewhere that another explanation for this arti is compared to the childhood of Lord Krishna, how the Yashoda taking care of him, can help him. And I've forgotten because I read it long time back. Each stage of the arti corresponds to some particular activity.
No doubt there are many explanations according to different angles of vision.
This explanation is not based on something. Is it bona fide or
what?
This explanation. Or is it just somebody's bhav and he's just expressing it like that?
If that person's bhav is genuine, then it's bona fide. No doubt. There are several explanations. I'm giving you a very, very basic one. It's like if you give somebody something to drink, and then after you give them the towel, to go like this, or you wash their feet, and then afterward you wipe their feet. Yes, you should think that you are wiping the feet if you are drying the feet of the Lord. When you're offering the articles, you're supposed to look at the part that you're offering it to. Yes, definitely. But every article, you begin at the feet and gradually go to the space. You never go look directly at the space. If you're looking at his feet, how can you offer to his face? You might miss. Yeah. You're not doing it for your pleasure looking at his face. You're looking at his face so that you can properly offer this article. Huh? Yes?
Every morning, just before the Bhagavatam, we sing this Jai Radha Madhava. Even morning Mangalarti, you know, everything is the same. Still sometimes, especially at that particular time, so the other bhajans also, we generally don't have a time to read those bhajans and from the song book. So if one of them can be done during that time, maybe very short, only 5 minutes or something.
Srila Prabhupada would sing so many bhajans. There are many, many, many tapes of Prabhupada's bhajans. But before Srimad Bhagavatam, he would only chant Jai Radha Madhava. And that was the standard that he personally established. And he asked in every temple that it be done like that. So that is why we are doing it. Prabhupada was very fond of that song. He said that song is a picture, is a window into the spiritual world. He said, everything and everyone is there. Such a beautiful song. The most beautiful names of Krishna. Radha Madhava, Kunja Bihari, Gopijana Balava, Vidivara Dhari, Yashoda Nandana, Raja Jana Ranjana, Jamuna Pira, Balashari. Huh? They are just Bhaktivinoda has just taken these beautiful names of Krishna, which give a full picture of Vrindavan, and made it into one song. So, I would say it's better if you just perform the austerity of meditating on each beautiful name of Krishna that's being sung in that song. curb your restless mind. Perhaps your mind has become so complicated by all of these Sanskrit mantras that you cannot be content with just some simple names of Krishna anymore. In which case, you are destined for Vaikuntha. But if you want to redirect yourself to Vrindavan, Vrindavan, you have to be content with the simple names of Krishna. Does everyone have that problem that you have?
Maharaj, but when he was there, what he used to do here is to sing a bhajan from the songbook and then Jai Radha Madhava.
That's all right.
And now because we are shortage of time, so we can't do that. Otherwise, we couldn't do that.
It's nice if we sing bhajans from songbooks. But Jai Radha Madhava should be sung before class. Simply because it's so pleasing to Prabhupada. And it reminds us of our Śrīla Prabhupāda. Even in Vrindavan they sing Radha Madhava before every Bhagavatam. They sing it in English translation, but still they sing before every Bhagavatam. At New Vrindavan, they sing bhajans every morning, different ones, after Bhagavatam class. They sing one bhajan. Of course, there's English hymns, but still they have a whole variety and they sing a different one each day. What they do is the Rishikesh, who's in charge of the music department, according to what the class is talking about, they choose a bhajan that corresponds as closely as possible to that. And they put it on an overhead projector, and then there's a movie screen above the altar that we went out. Above the altar, you know? And outside. Like where we have Lord Chaitanya and dancing in his many manifestations. At that place they have a movie screen. And they have an overhead projector and they put the words with different bhajans. Hymns, they call them hymns. So that's how they do that. It would be nice to sing bhajan.
You see, now we have the songbook and so many. Don't know.
We could do after class. To do.
Dressing.
Huh?
These 6 people have to go to dressing. Yes, I have to go to the kitchen. At least 4 have to go to the kitchen.
Can we have Guru Puja? We can have if you like. Generally it's done after reading of the duties. But our devotees are not so much there at that time. We have Guru Puja. Hmm? And we can help. Not no harm, it's wonderful.
There was some discussion earlier about having these prayers in the 5 minutes between the japa and mandala. But somehow it didn't work out.
Sri Guru Charana Padma?
Why are you offering
it? It shouldn't be a rush like that.
It's too short a time.
It's to be sung with instruments. You can have a very short Guru Puja.